Under Reza Shah, the gas prison was the only prison in Tehran. In those days, prisoners were kept together without any classification. Many scholars, writers and poets spent years of their lives within its walls. Muhammad Farrokhi Yazdi, a well-known poet, was one of them. His revolutionary poems were so critical of the regime that he was imprisoned and his lips sewn together with needle and thread. It is widely believed he was put to death at the prison by venous air injection. In the past, there were two underground canals that supplied drinking and irrigation water to the palace. Years later, when the palace was converted into the prison, the two canals had gushed out to the surface, and prisoners would quench their thirst from the freezing water. Hence the Persian idiom, to drink cool water, was coined. An idiom with a pleasant literal meaning, but an unpleasant reference. Shot in 1958, the footage shows prisoners busy with various activities. The edifice has seen many hard days when Iran, under the boots of Russian and English troops during World War II, was occupied and ruined, accused of being a nest for German spies. They destroyed the country's army, toppled Reza Shah from the throne, forcing him to exile, and made his son Mohammad Reza the king of Iran. The occupying forces took all national resources into their hands, letting thousands of Iranians starve to death. The year 1953 is a year indelibly imprinted on the mind of the edifice. That year, Dr. Mohammad Mossadegh, the Prime Minister at the time, nationalised the oil industry, a success that enraged the United Kingdom and the United States of America. On the 19th of August 1953, in an Anglo-American coup, the Prime Minister was removed from power and many Iranian nationalists arrested. The edifice bore witness to the demise of a nation's hope. Mohammad Reza Shah, who had fled the country, returned a few days after the coup.
اگر اون نهضت به شکست منجر نمی‌شد، عملاً ملت ایران در
It's quite natural that hadn't that movement failed, the Iranian nation would have continued its journey toward its historical perfection in a natural fashion and experienced its local balanced development. But the meddling in the national movement by imperial powers, that is the US and the UK, interrupted the current of balance, intrinsic development in Iranian society.
After the 1953 coup d'etat, the nation's pent-up anger came to the surface every now and then, while the regime searched desperately for ways to curb the situation. In the mid-1950s, a new organization was established with the help of the CIA and the Mossad. SAVAK, or the Organization of Intelligence and National Security, aimed to counteract any security threat to the country. Dr. Javad Mansouri was a political prisoner before the 1979 revolution in different prisons across the country.
بعد از کودتای 28 مرداد 1332
After the 1953 coup d'etat, they decided to have a powerful organization to suppress the Iranian anti-imperialist movement, especially since the movement had continued for a long time and the regime was impotent. So in 1956, the bill was officially put forward and approved in Parliament, and with a design by the CIA, this organization was established. the CIA had even an office in Sabak. And all plans, information exchanges, training, equipment were from the CIA.
کل برنامه‌ها، مبادله اطلاعات، آموزش، تجهیزات با CIA بود.
Nipping any protest in the bud, Savak planned to round up all political dissidents in the country. A need for more prisons was urgent now. New prisons were built around the Markov prison. One of them was for political prisoners, where a large number of political opponents of different trends spent years of their lives.
دقیقاً بعد از کودتای 28 مرداد 1332 است که باز
Right after the 1953 coup d'etat, again due to the increase in the number of political prisoners and their inherent difference from criminals, in the early 1950s, a separate building was officially built as the political prison.
بخش مستقل و ساختمان مستقلی به عنوان زندان سیاسی، بخش سیاسی زندان ساخته میشه.
Of those prisoners, some work as docents at the Garden Museum, telling visitors their stories of the hardship they experienced there. Mr. Hossein Khan Ali is one of them. As a political dissident during the 1960s, he spent 5 years in the Shah's prisons.
There was a man in this prison for 30 years, Safar Khan Qahramanian. This man was for a long time in this room. For 16 years since he was arrested, no one was allowed to visit him. After 16 years, he was called up to the meeting room. He couldn't believe it. He was called a few times and he finally went to the meeting room. When he went there, he saw a woman with a little child and a man with her. The woman called him over. As he stood in front of her in the meeting room, she said, "Father, I'm your daughter. This is my child and this is my husband." Of all his family, only that girl had been left for him. All others had passed away. And that girl came here every week for the last remaining 14 years to visit her father.
After the events of June 1963, led by Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, Savak, an intelligence agency, turned into a secret police to crush any signs of revolt. And the Iron Fist became the signature of this fearsome organization. Habeas corpus was no longer a right for all people, and forced confessions and long detentions became Savak's repeat prescription for any political dissident.
در سال 42 بعد از قضایای 15 خرداد
In 1963, after the demonstrations of June the 5th and 6th, it was decided that suppressing the opponents had to be more vigorous and more extensive, and the opponents had to be treated more violently.
سازمان موساد به کمک ساواک آمد و موساد هم یه دفتری رو
It was here that the Mossad came to help Savak, and the Mossad also established an office in Savak and began to train, equip, and exchange information with Savak.
The 1953 coup ushered in the emergence of leftist parties. Though they couldn't play an important role in the political arena of a religious country like Iran, while the religious movement led by Ayatollah Khomeini aimed to raise public awareness, the leftist groups took arms to fight against the regime. Mr. Davud As'adi Khamenei was a founding member of the Islamic Society of Students in Stockholm. In 1977, soon after his return to Iran, As'adi was arrested for political activities inside the country. After a six-month interrogation, he was transferred to the Qasr prison. For him, there were two main ideologies in the prison.
در اون زمان دو نظر، دو دیدگاه و دو راه برای مبارزه وجود داشت.
In those days there were two points of view for the struggle. Some held that the struggle must be a cultural struggle. From a cultural perspective, the society must reach a level so as not to accept a person as Shah.
قبول نکنه. ولی ادعی هم بودن که مبارزات مسلحانه رو قبول داشتن.
But there were some people that believed in the armed struggle. They aimed to announce their stance by killing the people near the Shah. And among those two groups, there were some people that believed in a combination of a cultural and an armed struggle. Anyway, this issue that the movement must be purely cultural was one of the views at the time which was preferred by many figures, that is, those who were intellectual.
اهل مطالعه بودن، اهل علم بودن، اهل دانش بودن، بیشتر این جنبه رو قبول داشتن.
In 1972, as the armed struggle against the Pahlavi regime gathered momentum, the Joint Counter-Sabotage Committee was founded, aiming to establish close liaison between different security agencies and armed forces to confront the opponents. At the same time, a new prison was given to the committee. Many prisoners were killed in this prison under the brutal torture of Savak agents. Dr. Mansouri was in prison both before and after 1971. During his second imprisonment in the Joint Counter-Sabotage Committee prison, he suffered harsh interrogation and harrowing tortures.
از سال 50 رژیم شاه برخوردش با زندانیان سیاسی بسیار خشن خصمانه.
From the year 1971, the Pahlavi regime treated political prisoners very brutally and revengefully. Before that, they would treat a political prisoner like a bankrupt in a very ordinary way. But from 1971 on, they were facing people they considered as their sworn enemies who intended to overthrow the regime. The treatment was so brutal that they thought no one would dare go this way or that prisoners would never resume their activities after being released.
مسیرا بیاد اگر یه زندانی هم آزاد شد دیگه از حواس زندان نکنه مثلا.
After the year 1971, the regime had initiated a shake-up in the way they treated political dissidents. Almost all of those arrested for political reasons underwent long, excruciating interrogations.
یک روز عصری حالا گویا بازجوها بیکار بودن.
One afternoon, it seemed that the interrogators had nothing to do and were bored. They called me and another young man who had come from abroad and I didn't know him. They put us in front of each other, forcing us to beat each other, but we didn't. They told him to beat me. He refused and therefore they gave him a beating. Then they left him alone and told me to beat him. I also refused and then they gave me a beating.
منو میگرفتن زیر مشکلات. دیگه در حد بیحال شدن منو زدن.
They beat me very hard. Then another interrogator arrived and said, I know this guy. He is not an important person. Take him to the cell and release him tomorrow. They grabbed my arms and dragged me back into the cell. One week passed by, but no one came to release me.
هیچ کس سراغم نیامد. بعد از یک هفته اسمم رو صدا کردن.
After one week, they called me and took me directly to the torture room. Usually they would take us to the interrogation room and then to the torture room. They took me directly to the torture room. They aimed to break one's concentration so that one couldn't speak about anything in a measured way.
After endless sessions of interrogation and trials that could take several months, they would be sent to one of the political prisons, including the Qasr prison.
تمام طول مدتی که زندانی در کمیته بود اصلا خانواده از این اطلاع نداشتن.
During the time the prisoner was in the committee, his family would never know of him at all. One could be there for a year or more or less. Whenever their families would go, for example to Evin Penitentiary, they couldn't find their children. That's while some families knew their children were there.
در صورتی بعضی از خانواده ها میدونستن زندانیشون اونجا هست.
It was clear that the Shah had given the green light to Savvak brutality. In hindsight, Savvak harassment merely fanned the flames of the revolution. Mr. Davood Yazdani, a former political prisoner, was a soldier during the revolution. He was arrested for his political activities inside the garrison and spent a long time incarcerated in the Ghasp prison. Now he's working as a guide at the Garden Museum.
ساواک یه ظلمی برای مردم ایران توی مملکت ایجاد کرد و سختگیری‌های کرد.
ساواک's harassment and torture accelerated the downfall of the Shah, and the Iranian people became stronger and stronger and continued the struggle to overthrow the decadent regime.
مردم ایران هم روز به روز مقاومت‌تر بشن و به مبارزه ادامه بدن تا رژیم منحتو از مملکت بیرون کنن.
In 1974, student activities intensified and street demonstrations flared up. With draconian power, Savak set a reign of terror that lasted 2 years. Many were arrested, tortured, or even killed on the slightest charges. This era was one of the darkest chapters in the history of modern Iran.
در سال 55 رژیم شاه تصمیم داشت.
In 1976, the regime had decided to put in prison whoever showed the least opposition, thinking that in this way it could reduce the numbers of its opponents.
میتونه تعداد مخالفینش رو کم کنه. به خاطر همین و به همین علت زندان.
Therefore, the prisons of the Shah became overcrowded, that is, political prisons. At that time, the Castra prison and others were overcrowded.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll discuss the 22nd chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, or Pilgrimage. Before moving on, let's just listen to some verses of this chapter, and we'll be back with you. Stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. And they worship besides Allah that for which He has not sent down authority, and that of which they have no knowledge. And there will not be for the wrongdoers any helper.
Two brothers and sisters, we're talking about the 71st verse of the chapter. وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَمَا لَيْسَ لَهُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٌ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِن نَصِيرٍ. And they worship besides Allah things for which He has sent no authority, and of which they have no knowledge, and for the unjust there shall be no helper. Concerning the verse, we said that the one who has no clear reason for his belief, the one whose deeds are not based on some fact, actually he is unjust. And he's not only unjust to himself, but he's also unjust to the others. Because it is possible that some others follow him, and they might be also led astray because of his beliefs, because of his deeds, which were based on not a strong belief. So the reason we should worship, the incentive for worshiping the Almighty Allah, might be out of three things. At first, what the Almighty Allah has sent authority. وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. And they worship besides Allah things for which He has sent no authority. So, the first reason we can start worshipping the Almighty Allah or have some of our deeds is the things that the Almighty Allah has sent some authorities. The Almighty Allah has some commandments and some orders, and to follow them will make some of our deeds. Also, the verse continues, وَمَا لَيْسَ لَهُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٌ, and of which they have no knowledge. The second thing which we can follow and have our deeds based on is the guidance of our minds. It's the knowledge, it's the true knowledge of our minds. And the third one is that we might do our deeds just to get help from the Almighty Allah, and just to be hopeful that this will be what the Almighty Allah desires. But the polytheists do not have any of these three things.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Oh,
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
That's why the verse says, وَمَا لِظْوَالِمِينَ مِنْ نَصِيرٍ. Those mushrikeen, those polytheists, do not have any of these three things, and that's why they are called ظَالِمِينَ, the unjust. So if you want to have nasir on the Day of Judgment, you shall have one of these things, sultan, or the true reason from the Almighty Allah, the commandment, the order of your Lord. The second, ilm, or the true knowledge, or to be sure that something is true and is based on what the Almighty Allah has ordered. And the third one, which is not actually mentioned explicitly in this verse, is to have our deeds based on something which we feel that it is true, and we actually rely on the Almighty Allah to guide us. But the one who has no clear reason and has no clear actually proof for his belief or deeds is actually unjust, and this is what the verse is trying to tell us. Regarding polytheism, Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, said, once a man came to the Messenger of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and said, oh, the Messenger of Allah, what are the deeds which cause a man to enter paradise or hell? In answer to this question, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, whoever from among my ummah dies and has not associated anything with Allah will enter paradise. And whoever dies while he has been associating things with Allah will enter hell. By having the first glance at this tradition, we might feel that we are not among the polytheists. Of course, may the Almighty Allah be pleased with us, and may He keep us away from being polytheists. But we must be really careful with our deeds, since it might be that doing one of our actions, having one of our deeds for someone other than the Almighty Allah, might be having actually a level of polytheism in it. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam has said, you should know that even the smallest hypocrisy is like believing in more than one God, and keeping company of people who follow their low desires is the key to obliviousness from religion, and it is the seat of Satan. May the Almighty Allah keep us away from being the polytheists. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Things always worked for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering the doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah,
who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially the last of them, Muhammadul Mustafa, and his progeny, and those companions who followed their path. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another program of questions and answers on the Islamic belief. I'm here, Sayyid Wahid Alawi, with my dear scholar, Sayyid Muhsin Naqawi. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid, and welcome once again to our studio.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
I have received a question which says, on the day of resurrection, Yawm al-Qiyamah, everyone, good or evil, will regret, will be in a state of lamentation. The good ones, because they did not gather more rewards. The evil ones, because they did not do good things. So basically, all people will be in a state of lamentation and regret, what we call in Arabic, hasra. So, are we on this earth to just feel regret on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Is that why we are being created, that on the day of judgment we just feel regret and lamentation?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first of all, who said everyone will have this kind of thinking? Obviously, when we refer to the Quran, Allah talks about different categories of people. There are different categories. Some of them are very much heavy, and when they will obviously reach to the heaven, they will say to the angels, according to some of the narrations, they will say to the angels that when we were in the world on the earth, they said us there will be a bridge of Sirat, there will be all these things, but we haven't seen anything. And we directly are in the heavens. How this happened? And there will be some people who in the heaven will say, like, we had the phase of the Sirat, there were 7 stages, it was very hard to get over there, over here, and in every stage we were having a fear that maybe we will be dropped from the, you know, we will not get the rewards and we will be punished on things. So there are 2 types of people in the heaven.
Right.
Now, if I give you an example to make it tangible, it will become very much clear, even for our listeners. You know, if I ask you, for example, if you're traveling maybe from London to, for example, Paris.
Right.
When you're traveling from London to Paris, there are 2 people. One of us, we both travel. One of us, maybe you travel by plane and I travel by car. What's going to happen? When I reach to that place, and even before our traveling,
even before our traveling,
we do search on the internet and we meet different people, or maybe travel agency, we talk to them, like, what's on the way if I want to go from London to Paris? What's going to happen?
Right.
What are the stages? They will explain, like, on the way you will see this, these are the hurdles. You need to have passport, visa, and you need to, in every entry, you must show your visa, you must show your passport, your identity. Maybe the police will be there. Maybe there are other things. You have to rest in the night at that place, and the next day you will move on. And you continue travel. Maybe during the travel there is a rain, there is a storm. All these things can happen there. But when you reach to the Paris by flight, you haven't seen anything. You directly reach to the Paris. And when
reach
I come
your destination.
You reach your destination. And when I join
without
you
any obstacle,
while traveling by road, I will explain you everything that I have seen. Now, the same case
and the
is
effort
over there.
Yeah, you
the
made effort. To reach Paris,
the,
for
the,
example.
The basically, the point is that you had money and you traveled by air. I did not have. I traveled by car. Same is the case with us. Being the
I
human
had to
beings.
Another interpretation or perspective could be I had to sacrifice more
yes.
than you.
Yes.
Thus, I was taken with an airplane and you were taken by a car.
Obviously, when you yeah. sacrifice
more, so that
more,
sacrifice
you have
could
more
be spiritual,
spiritual
things that I have done,
that's
right?
Right. So basically, amongst us humans, there are some who sacrifice more, who have more rewards.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Who can, by air, travel from this earth to the heaven directly.
Right.
And there are some like me who do not have that much rewards or the acts or the good deeds who will slowly travel and they will be stopped on every, we can say,
border
or the stop.
Asked.
Be asked for the everything.
Right.
And you know, when it is said like on the bridge of Sirat, there are seven stages. They will ask about the prayers, the general amal, and then the hubbul ahlul bayt. And the mawaddat and all those things. So these are different stages. Someone who has sacrificed in this world, who has worked hard, who has put all his effort to gain the next world, and who did not pay attention towards this material life so much, obviously he will have the better rewards. So this is how basically is happening over there. It's not like people, obviously when I will reach there, I will have a limitation. I will regret that I could do better than this. I could earn like you, for example, and could do it and could travel. I could have this chance, but I did not. I regret because I lost my
chance. You didn't want
chance.
To go through that effort.
Yes, I didn't want at that time. And now I'm looking at the consequences. I'm facing the consequences.
Right.
So these are the consequences, basically, that we are facing. And that's what happened because most of the people are not like this, who sacrifice everything. For example, the infallible imams or the prophets or their close, we can say, like the saints that we have, they have basically sacrificed in this world. And their all efforts were for the mankind. They serve this the human beings, they serve the mankind, and they try to take the human beings and the mankind towards the purification and perfection. So the more they put their effort, the more
some people
are
made
there.
The ultimate sacrifice,
yes.
Their families or their own selves. Like you have Shahid Soleimani, the newest example.
Yes, we can have Shahid Soleimani, the
we
best example.
Everything.
And yes, and he was always on the battlefield.
Right.
And no matter what happens, and he was for the needy people. He raised his voice. He raised his voice against the oppression that is happening. So we need to see how many people we have, like Qasim Soleimani, Shahid Qasim Soleimani, or how many people we have like other shuhada, other martyrs that we have. Obviously, how many of us are like Imam Khomeini, for example, who worked for the pure Islamic state where there will be a justice, where obviously this Islamic state will become basis for the occultation of, for the reappearance of
right.
the Imam of the time. At the time of occultation. So we need to see everyone should basically put himself in, should see him accountable for the deeds that they are doing. For example, right now, when we are sitting, we are talking, we can see like how many times I helped others, how many times I did something for the sake of God, how many times I performed something for a divine cause. Because when I do things for a divine cause, then I will be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
And then obviously there are more rewards for me.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Another question that I have received asks, how come that some people say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they hear or when they mention the name of the Prophet, and they do not add wa alihi? So, when we say, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, how come they just end there and they do not continue it? May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his progeny. Wa Ali Muhammad. What is the reason for that?
Unfortunately, in Islam, we can see after the demise of the Prophet, there were obviously political groups, the differences, political views, different views. Those political difference of views later in the later years or the centuries, it turned to different groups who strictly were against each other. And the political difference that was there, obviously, that was amongst the companions of the Prophet. And these people who came later, or they went to extreme. And in that extreme, they started to take out the name of Al from the, obviously, when we say Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam, they say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
So it might be a scheme from Bani Umayyah and Bani Abbas.
It is. That's what I'm referring to.
Early dynasties.
Yes.
Right.
It is from that. The scheme is from there. Because if they mention Wa Alihi, then obviously their governorship is under question.
Yes. We're oppressing them simultaneously, yes, and we're saying Ali.
So they cannot say this. Whereas, the point is, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is wise, Hakim, He is Alim. And now look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dealing with them. The question is, if you ask any Muslim, any scholar, no matter which school of thought he belongs to, ask him in the tashahhud, after the second rakat when they sit, if they skip wa alihi from the salawat, will their prayer be accepted or it is batil?
Invalid, right.
Invalid. Is it valid or invalid? They say it is invalid.
That's very interesting. So they have to, it's obligatory according to
and
the
same like the salawatul Ibrahimi, for example. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim innaka hamidum majid. So the same, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad kama sallaita. So over there, they have to mention right. Al. Why? Why is it so? Why we need to bring Al?
And they cannot add wasahbihi.
Yes. They cannot add in
they
the prayer
They cannot add
wasahbihi.
The companions.
That's the point.
In you cannot prayer, omit and you cannot add.
In the prayers, daily prayers, wajib prayers, when you're praying, you cannot say, we cannot say that Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi. In the prayers, you cannot say wa sahbihi.
Right.
In the prayers, they say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim. That's the first thing. The second thing, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not made the love of companions wajib or necessary. Allah says that قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Allah said, if they want to give you some, if they want to pay back to you a profit or give some reward, ask them. The payback of this Islam that I brought to you and the guidance that I brought to you is
the
love of
Ahlul Bayt.
Right. Now, these are the answers to this. Now, those who say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they should really think about this, that when in the prayers you cannot say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad or sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only relying on this without all, how can you say this when you're out of prayer?
Mm.
So you should not do this. This right. is wrong.
There is another thing, though, say that those who are into tasawwuf, the Sufis and those who are into spirituality and the tariqas, they usually mention wa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, and then they add sometimes wa sahbihi also.
Obviously, they can, if they want, they can add anyone out of the prayers. But the criteria is what we have.
Right.
The criteria is the prayers,
Thank
which
you
is wajib,
much.
Which is necessary, which becomes valid or invalid if you add or subtract something.
Right.
So when you cannot do this, then obviously there is an alarming situation for all of
we
us.
We should reflect upon it.
Yes.
Why
all
are
of
we
us
saying?
Who are saying, because maybe on the Day of Judgment, the Prophet ﷺ will ask us, that why you were not sending salat or the praise on my Ahlul Bayt or
right.
my Al, where Allah put this, make it necessary in the prayers.
Right.
Why you were not doing this?
Thank you very much. So let's reflect upon this, dear brothers and sisters, for those of us who do not say it, so who do not add the progeny. Till next time, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of you.
إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ نَهْرًا لَبَنًا إن في الجنة نهرا لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا وبهذا الحب لا نخشى المحن.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو you who believe استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. These days are the days that the light of the Ahlul Bayt, the light of the Imam of our time, started to shine on the earth again through the revolution of the Ahlul Bayt, the Islamic revolution, and establishing in one part of the world, starting in that part of the world, the Islamic government, the government of the 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala, Farajahu Sharif. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, when He gives a blessing, then with it comes responsibilities. There's rizq that's coming to us through the revolution. Real Islam, true Islam, all these are rizq from Allah. Kulu, take it, wala tatghaw. Don't disobey. Don't rebel. We have those of the Muslimin that are not seeing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to see in regards to the revolution. That itself is a rebellion. Why does God say, وَلَقَدْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَسْرِ بِعِبَادِي فَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ? Why does God say, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ قَدْ أَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ عَدُوِّكُمْ? He reminds them, we were the ones who freed you from Fir'aun. Why is it important to say that and to remind that? Because Banu Israel need to see that. Anyone who doesn't see that the Islamic Revolution and the Islamic Republic are a blessing from Allah for them, and the Islamic education they're getting wherever they are in the world is as a result of and a rizq through the Islamic Revolution, then they're missing out on this part of divine teaching. And that is a rebellion. It's being unthankful towards Allah, a blessing that He has given. We're not taking it as a blessing. That's one. Besides that, once we see it, then there are other responsibilities that come. Part of it has to do with supporting. We have got to support this Islamic government. If we are Muslim, we have got to. It's our responsibility to support this. In what way? Do we need to send money? Do we need to send... I don't know. They have all of that. What are we supposed to do? We've got to support it by openly being in support of that government. Saying this is our government. Saying this is an Islamic government. Saying that we are under the leadership. This is our responsibility. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us today. If the people support, part of that people will be the militaries of the world. We don't need bombs. People need to understand, and we need to support. If we understand this, which according to these verses we should understand it, and we do our part in us supporting this, and we do our part in getting the word out, we do our part in exposing kufr. One of the other things we have here is about Samiri. I didn't read that part. Samiri tricked and presented something, created a fitna, Banu Israel moved away from. That's another very difficult part to read and take on board. This can happen to us, and part of us are doing this. The kuffar have created fitan. They said, oh, these are Shias. They tried to disconnect the Sunni world from the movement by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With all the fitan, Hamas, which is not Shia, is still with the Islamic Republic, the Islamic movement, and they're making that more and more public. Many people in Yemen are not Shia. The Houthis are Shia, they're Zaydi, generally at least. They could have, and they tried so hard, and they are trying, all these fitan. Another thing, ethnicity. Oh, they're Iranians, you're Pakistani, you're Afghan. Look at how they're treating Afghans. Put this, they did this on the border, they did that on the... They're not Arab, you guys are Arab. You need to get close to the countries of the Gulf, the Emirates, Qatar, all these countries that are buddies with the Zionists, with Western powers. You guys should be with them. Iraqis, don't listen. These guys are Ajam. They're Persians. They're this, that, the other. Don't be with them. Your problems are because of them. All these different fitan. Through deception, some people are falling. We got to make sure we don't fall for that. We're not of the ones who joined the Samiri of the time. These various forms of media. If we do that, inshallah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same way that it took 15 years for those small groups in support of the Islamic Republic, in support of Imam Khomeini, in support of a revolution, on a level that they were willing to, just for coming out and speaking their support for Imam Khomeini, they came out with their kefans because they knew coming out means they're going to kill us. And they wanted to show that we are willing to come out and say we support even if you're going to kill us. We're ready for that. That's what wearing a kefan and coming out means. Small numbers in a couple or a few cities over time, because of their blood, because of their shuhada, the numbers increased, then this will happen on a global scale, brothers and sisters. We will have you, inshallah, and all of those that are like you, and there aren't too few either. We have made progress. There are many people from various ethnic backgrounds and even religious backgrounds that have realized this and are in support, inshallah. There are those who give life. They have given. The numbers will increase. The numbers will increase. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, and it will come to a time where the Imam of our time will come, meaning we will see him. He will reveal his identity. We'll all see him. And we see that, as Dua Nudba we read, وأنت تأم الملأ ونحن نقول الحمد لله رب العالمين. You are تأم الملأ. You are leading the people, and we are around you, and we say الحمد لله رب العالمين. Do we see that that day comes? Inshallah, that day will come, and inshallah it's near. And inshallah we do. We're part of those that carry on this takleef. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve us all of the difficulties caused by this pandemic, by providing a cure and a vaccine through the believers, something that will be effective and helpful and not have negative consequences, inshallah. Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahim Kareem شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids? That is from the very beginning of the birth.
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you all, and you're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing, only on IRIB English Radio. And in this program, we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. And the answers are mostly based upon the book Children in Quran and Sunnah, compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. So I'm Hasnain, and we have our guest in our studio, Brother Miqdad. Salaamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullah.
Brother Miqdad, one of our listeners has a question that my seven-year-old is obsessed about football. He loves to watch it and play it as well. That's what he does all day long. Is that okay? So now we get to see that there are many football lovers, and you know, they're really obsessed about football. So what do parents do over here? And is that normal? Is that okay?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I want to say yes, but obviously this yes will come with a lot of conditions and a lot of explanations. So let me.
Seems like you yourself are a football lover.
Yes, I do play football as well. But let me mention a few points. So first and foremost, when it comes to playing football, if the parent means playing football on a computer game or on a video game, then no, there should be a balance to that for sure. I wouldn't recommend it too much on it. Obviously, screen time, it's a lot of mental energy that's wasted. But definitely, I'm not saying stop completely. Definitely, it should be part of our daily timetable. Put some time for playing football on video games. That's perfectly fine. If she meant or he meant that the child plays football, physical football, the real
physical
football,
sometimes
it means that they go out on a proper AstroTurf pitch or an indoor pitch and they play real football with their friends, 7-a-side, 11-a-side, or a football practice, basically. That's really, really good, definitely. I encourage it as much as they can. Children need to be active, children need to be doing a lot of sports, becoming stronger. Team sport is very good. Just that, I would like to mention that football is one sport. It's a sport. It's not counted as the best of sports for one's health. It's prone to one's prone to injury through football, and also as a sport, it's not the best of sports. You have other sports that are better in terms of making your body stronger.